I would encourage every one of you, sometime or another, to stop singing and listen to the singing, as I was just now. How beautiful it was. And thank you for it. You know, this is a strange place, because they've got a guy named Donald Harvey here who sent me a text the other day saying that somehow through the ether a disc had gone from there out there to someone who picked it up, who lives in Guildford. Yeah, you look as amazed as I do. And this, through the actual means, this guy eventually got, well, I got in touch with him because I had his email address from Donald. And he had picked this up and he had listened to the first minute and had heard that it was Keith Patterson. And he knew a Keith Patterson. He wanted to see whether it was the same one. And he had listened to the first minute, and then he stopped, and then decided to chase it up to see whether Keith Patterson was the one that he knew. And in fact, it was. And the last time I spoke to this guy was in 1966, when we left training college together. And since that time, we've met up. Not met up, but we've been communicating with each other, and he's coming to see me. And the strange thing was, last week, I was in Droitwich Baptist Church preaching. And this is where this guy grew up, because his parents were opticians in Droitwich. It's a small world, you know. Very small world. But it was good. Thank you, Donald. We keep on going. Let's turn to God's word now and just continue what we're going to read. We had that first reading from Romans chapter 1. Now we're in Romans 15. So it's the first and the last of Romans. And just let's see a few verses from there. Reading from verse 17 in chapter 15. Therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in the leading of the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. By the powers and signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem all the way round to Illyricum I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now there is no more place for me to work in these regions. And since I have had a longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there, after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share it with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they receive this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. And I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. What a story that is, from beginning to end. And if I have something to leave with you this morning, it's to draw your attention to a very wonderful and important subject of prayer. Of prayer and its answer. This is a subject which is seen taught throughout the whole of the scriptures, and one which has proved a great source of blessing to all of God's people. But on the other hand, it's a matter which has often caused a great deal of stumbling and doubt. Here in this story, that great saint, the Apostle Paul, and his experiences, much light is shed on the matter of prayer. A visit to Rome was one of Paul's dearest wishes. He had had it on his heart and his mind for years, and in his words, "After that, I must visit Rome." Rome, the metropolis of the world. So we can understand why it was that this great missionary wanted to reach Rome. And we know what a great stalwart for the cross Paul was, how he loved to enter new lands. And you can almost imagine and feel the passion that was in his heart as he thought about visiting this great city, taking the gospel where the power of evil lodged and the throne of sin dwelt, telling out the love of God where evil lodged and people were toiling under the hate of man, and lifting the banner of the cross where the message of the risen Christ and the flags of Eden, evil, sin, hate and hell were flying. How Rome would make an ideal centre for the gospel ministry. And you know that the Roman Empire had made roads into every part of the then known world. And no doubt, part of Paul's ambition was to make his headquarters there in the world centre, so that the couriers of the gospel might go out with the gospel in all directions. I must visit Rome. You can readily imagine his longing. But the dream had never come true. It had been a vision in his heart for years which had never come into reality. He says, "I don't want you to be unaware that I planned to come to you, but was hindered until now." He had a great desire to go there. Up till now, all his plans had been thwarted and his hopes frustrated. He says, I have been prevented these many times, is the word of Paul to the saints at Rome. But somehow, there just seems to be a glimmer. At least the way seems to be opening up. The plan is beginning to work out. He can now at last see the fulfillment of his desire. The guiding hand is pointing to the city of the seven hills. So he writes with joy in his heart to the Christians at Rome that on his way around to Spain, he's going to drop off and visit them. There's hope. He writes to them that he might have a harvest among them. Soon, their wish was going to be realized. So he calls at the Church of Rome to pray for this. "Strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God." You know, you can readily imagine the apostle and the people uniting in prayer for this desirable happening. Can you imagine the thrill in the hearts of the saints at Rome as they pray for the coming of this great apostle? I'm sure Paul imagined himself marching under that triumphant archway, picturing himself in that great city, standing there with the power of God behind him, preaching the gentleness of Christ, there in the very centre of man's grim hardness, exalting the Son of God where men were exalting themselves with pride. What was Paul going to do with the preaching of the gospel in Rome? Can you imagine the vision of these people as they prayed for Paul? Don't you think they were making notes of Bible difficulties they would ask Paul when he came? Planning where with safety they could meet. Where they could gather in a crowd to hear him preach. Arranging a schedule where they could get together and hear this great theologian expound the Word of God. And working out how the thousands of unevangelized could be reached by the gospel when Paul came. And so they began to pray. They began to pray that God would give Paul a prosperous journey. And their prayer was answered. For in the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 14, it says this. And so we came to Rome. Wow, he was there. But if we read on, we see that Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier that kept him. Yes, prayer had been answered, but not one of them, not even Paul himself, ever dreamed that the answer to prayer was going to come in this startling and unexpected way. God sent Paul to Rome, but he entered the city of Rome as a prisoner, an ambassador of God's bound in chains and irons. Paul had been brought to Rome, but in a very different manner from the way that he had wished. Prayer had been answered. But I've been interested and helped to notice how extraordinary the answer was to prayer. And I'd just like to look at these differences. Let's look at the text again. I have planned these many years to come unto you. 4 years had gone by before he had arrived in Rome. And some say he'd been waiting longer before prayer was answered. I'm sure Paul prayed for a prosperous journey. Well, we all know how he got there. A dreadful shipwreck through those awful storms, also during the time of rigorous winter, blown hither and thither across the Mediterranean, brought again and again to the seemingly hope of having to resort to every nautical ingenuity to save their very own lives. And then, at the end of the journey, been flung onto an island. Some on boards, some on broken pieces of ship, and then by devious ways and means, brought to Rome. A prosperous journey Paul prayed for. And that's how God got him there. He probably prayed for a peaceful entry, but he was barred by the infuriated mob. He was barred by Felix. He was barred by Festus. He was barred by Agrippa, by storms, perils, foes, heathen, false brethren, perils of the sea, starvation. And notice his prayer was to come to them. He didn't come to them. He was brought to them. And when Paul prayed for this, he was visualizing himself walking through the streets of Rome, walking a free man. And actually he was brought bound, a prisoner of Nero. And also, his words are, that I might have a harvest among you. That's Paul's words to them. How did he minister them? If we turn back a page or two, we read that Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. There was no aggressive evangelism for Paul whilst he was in Rome. He lived for 2 years in his own hired house and received all that came to him. He wanted to go out to speak to them in their hundreds and in their thousands. But they could only come to him in their twos and threes. Not out in the city, but in a small room. When God answered Paul's prayer, every request was turned inside out, and the answer to prayer was as different as it possibly could have been from the request. When I thought about these things, I thought that prayer's like this for you and me. And I want to ask you and my own heart three questions this morning. First, are we willing for God to answer prayer in his own way? When God lays a burden of prayer upon the heart of a Christian disciple, that burden may be accepted as from him, and we pray with an intense longing and passion. And as we pray, entering into the fellowship of grief, suffering with others, the anguish deepens. Are we willing for God to answer prayer in his own way? Let me illustrate. Someone may be praying for a loved one. Would we be willing for that, for God to bring that loved one to the very gates of death in order to answer our prayer? That may be his way. God has such strange ways of giving us the desires of our hearts and keeps from our minds any inkling of the way he's going to answer prayer. And then sometimes we stand surprised at the unexpected way he shows in his way of answering. Are we willing for him to use his own means to bring about the fulfillment of prayer he has laid upon our hearts to pray? For Paul, it was by the strangest means. By means of those guys. Caesar. Claudius. Festus. Agrippa. What if God intends to use the most unlikely people to answer our prayers and fulfill his purpose? Oh, let's challenge our hearts this morning. What are our desires when we kneel in prayer? Are we willing to truly say, not only your will be done, but your way be done also? The second thing I want to bring to you is this question. Are we willing for God to answer prayer in his own time? Yeah, what a wise man Paul was. He might easily have said, now I must go to Rome, and off he shot. Rushed off straight away. No, he was willing to wait for God's time. Well, when I look back over my life, I can see how many times I have wanted to hurry on ahead of God. And how many times I made mistakes by doing that. My times, my moments, my hours are in your hands, O Lord. God's never in a hurry. And he who brings that sun up every morning, and he who lights those stars every night, will answer the desires of our hearts just at the right time. And how often he has to say to us, wait a moment, my child. Wait a moment, my child. Wait for me. Let me answer when I think best. So that purpose for you will be fulfilled. I am prepared to say But the moment of the clock Paul entered the city of Rome was God's moment, timed to the very second. And for this, God made the wrath of men and the anger of nature to do his work. So Agrippa and Festus and Felix and Caesar might all have restrained Paul more than they did. But let's not forget God's hand was restraining them. God also made the winds and the storms to fulfill his will. And by the anger of men and the wrath of nature, God kept his servant in the line of his will at the very right moment. God was in wrath, as Paul was in wrath. If he had gone sooner, he would never have done the work. If he had gone later, he would have wasted his time. Doesn't the psalmist say, "My times, my moments are in your hands, O Lord"? So let's ask ourselves, are we willing to have our prayers answered? Answered in his own good time. And the final question I want to ask is this. Are we willing to have our prayers answered for his own purpose? Paul wanted to go to Rome to preach, but God had no such intention for him whilst he was there. God sent Paul to Rome to write. And while he was there for those 2 years in his own hired house, kept by the Roman guard, he had a God-given opportunity to put pen to paper. If he had had the opportunity and the liberty to preach, very likely we would not have had those wonderful letters, the epistles, which have meant so much to the saints down through the years. Oh, it must have been a keen disappointment for a great preacher like Paul not to be allowed to raise his voice in Rome. So ask ourselves, are we willing to have our prayers answered for his glory alone? For his purpose? To have our plans scrapped, his plans fulfilled? I have to close by reminding you how perfectly the Lord Jesus is our pattern for this, as he is our only power. He was willing to live his life in God's way, even though it meant the way of the cross. He was willing to live and to die for God's purposes to be worked out. Even the redemption of the world. It must be 60 years now. When I'd just become a Christian, I was talking to someone about prayer, and they gave me a piece of paper with these words on it. He prayed for strength that he might achieve. He was made weak that he might obey. He prayed for health that he might do greater things. He was given infirmity that he might do better things. He prayed for riches that he might be happy. He was made poor that he might be wise. He prayed for power that he might have the praise of men. He was given disappointment that he might feel his need of God. He prayed for all things that he might enjoy life. He was given life that he might enjoy all things. He received nothing that he asked for, but was given all that he hoped for. his prayer was answered. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our God, we thank you for the many prayers which you have seen fit not to answer yet. Help us as we seek you in prayer, ever to be willing for you to answer in your own good time, for your own glory, and for your honor. Deepen in our lives the art and privilege of prayer, that our lives might be used of you to touch others. This we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.